In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I have a short, not a short sermon, a short childhood memory for you. But even before I tell it, I realize that I need a much longer preface or a footnote of some kind, so that this silly little memory, hopefully, makes sense to all of us. Not everyone is going to be familiar with a certain belief that some Christian groups hold. This is a belief that Jesus is going to come down from the sky and lift his followers off of the earth at some very specific point in time, and it happens to be very soon. It is called the rapture. This was not a widespread belief within Christianity until around the mid-19th century. The mid-19th century, specifically right here in this country. Many Episcopalians have never heard of it, thus my preface. Of course, we say every Sunday during the Eucharistic prayer that we await Jesus' coming again. But the rapture is different from what we pray every week. This is how I grew up. As you may know, I am not a cradle Episcopalian, as they are called. I grew up Pentecostal and evangelical. And looking back on my childhood, I had this impression, this idea, that a good half of my religious upbringing was spent hearing about the rapture, the precise way that it was going to happen, and that it was right around the corner. It could be by the end of the day, when we will be lifted off of the earth to join Jesus in the sky. I will spare you the details, and there are many, though this one detail is important. The rapture was supposed to happen to just those true believers, and the group was fairly small. They weren't even all who would profess to be Christians. It was a rather select group. So the majority of people will be left behind. They'll be staying right down here. Another note, being left behind was not good. We would hear about all of the terrible things that were supposed to happen to those who were left behind. And as I was growing up, it was clear to me that I did not want to be left behind. The very idea that it could be possible that I would be here after the rapture, it was a scary one indeed, nightmare provoking, in fact. In all of this belief, leaving the earth was the whole point. There was a very firm belief that this place is not our home. We were to be raptured off of this way station. We were to be taken up and off and out of here by Jesus. And this is where my childhood memory begins, or takes place, or comes into the story. Every year, growing up, I remember, around late August or early September, right before the start of a new school year, I have this vivid memory of praying that the rapture would happen. I had this vivid memory of looking up into the sky, and one memory in particular of these sun rays passing through clouds in an otherwise blue sky. I'd look up there and say, I'm ready, Jesus, and your timing could not be better. Let's go. I confess to you, though, this morning that I had one hesitation about being raptured. Just one. I did hedge a little bit. Every year, around late May, maybe early June, just about now, praying with the same fervor, I would say, you know, Jesus, really, what's the rush? Let's just wait another couple of months. I did not want to lose my summer vacation. I thought of this little memory as I listened to today's reading in the book of Acts. We hear of Jesus' ascension. Hear of Jesus being taken up into the heavens. And we are left behind. We are left behind, and that is the whole point. Because our place is here. Jesus tells us this. We are meant to walk this earth, filled with God's presence as it is, to seek and serve our Creator right here. As Jesus prays in the Gospel of John, we are here. We are here to glorify God as Jesus glorified God. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, as he speaks with his disciples, he knows that he will be leaving the world. He does not pray that we would go with him. He doesn't seek to take us with him. No, to the contrary, he prays that as we remain in the world, as we remain in our true place here, that we would do the works that he has done, that we would continue Jesus' life. Jesus leaves, and we stay. We stay to do God's work here on earth. That which was entrusted to Jesus, Jesus now entrusts to us. And being left here is not a punishment. It's not a sign of faithlessness or doubt. Not at all. Being left behind is a gift. It is a gift, this invitation to continue in relationship with God as we do the works that Jesus did by the power of his Spirit, not in our power alone. It is a gift to be here, to help build the reign of God right here as we pray every week, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. Everywhere. Always, in all that we do, in the smallest of tasks or in the grandest, in our everyday work and activity, in the midst of our situations as they are. We do this, for example, as we help care for one another, as we care for God's creation. We are building God's reign on earth as it is in heaven. As we reach out to those who need it. As we stand with those who cry for justice, joining our cry to theirs. As we build communities formed by the values and the life of Jesus on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus has left us behind, but he has not left us alone. He has left us behind to live out this gospel, this good news, for the good of this world here and now. And he has given us his Spirit. And he has given us each other. Amen.